And it was a day on May, I believe it was the 31st, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was the 31st, 1921, that a community of people, of Black people, a town, a prosperous town, was massacred, terrorized by a group of people who despised everything that God had blessed these people with. So we're going to, today we're going to talk about that for just a moment. We're going to reminisce, we're going to review history and look at history, what we see in history. And there's a video, a documentary coming on tonight. If you have the History Channel, and if you don't have History Channel, maybe you can watch it. And I'm not sure if I have the History Channel, but maybe I have to watch it live, maybe on YouTube. But somebody may be showing it, but try to watch this video. But I have a video I want to share with you. This is a short video for 1 minute of what's going to take place in this documentary this evening. So just let me just play it for just a minute. See if I can go back on this and refresh it and play it. Okay, just hold it 1 minute there. I think the sound is off. I think the sound is on now. Bring it back to the beginning. There you go.
The story of the Tulsa Massacre was actively suppressed.
Tulsa was the best place for African Americans.
People refer to it as Black Wall Street.
The Tribune published a story titled "Nab Negro for Attacking Girl in an Elevator." It was a false narrative to reinforce white supremacy.
At that point, this wall of white people
firing into homes,
bombs dropping from the air.
It was just an all-out massacre.
Not one of those men who participated in the race massacre were ever brought to justice.
The reason we understand the history of the massacre is that certain survivors decided to talk about it.
We need to do something about what happened in Tulsa.
There could not be any justice to there is proper respect, restitution, and repair.
Wow, powerful documentary coming on tonight. It says in one of the articles that I read, it says historic images of Tulsa, Laisha, I don't think she's in her room to put this up. Let me just share. I'll just read portions of it for you. For your hearing. Oh, she has it. Okay, good. Okay. So he says, Pastor Andrew, you can read that at the turn of the
20th century, African Americans founded and developed the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma, built on what had formerly been Indian territory. The community grew and flourished as a Black economic and cultural mecca until May the 31st of 1921. That's when a white mob began a rampage through some 35 square blocks, disseminating the community known proudly as Black Wall Street. Armed rioters, many deputized by local police, looted and burnt down businesses, homes, schools, churches, a hospital, a hotel, public library, newspaper, offices, and more. While the official death toll of the Tulsa race massacre was 36, historians estimate it may have been as high as 300. As many as 10,000 people were left homeless. The incident stands as one of the most horrific acts of racial violence and domestic terrorism ever committed on American soil. In May 2021, 100 years after the massacre, 107-year-old Viola Fletcher testified before Congress on May 31st of 21. I went to bed in my family's home on in Greenwood, she recounted. The neighborhood I fell asleep in that night was rich, not just in terms of wealth, but in culture and heritage. My family had a beautiful home. We had great neighbors. I had friends to play with. I felt safe. I had everything a child could need. I had a bright future. Then, she said, came the murderous rampage, still vivid in her mind 100 years later. I still see Black men being shot, Black bodies laying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I still see Black businesses being burnt. I still hear airplanes flying overhead. I hear the screams. Below, a selection of photos that show Greenwood before, during, and after the tragedy.
Wow. Just a little more.
North Greenwood Avenue in Tulsa, prior to 1921 Tulsa riot massacre, was a main thoroughfare of the Greenwood Commercial District. This photograph was taken looking north down the avenue from East Archer Street.
That's good right there. And thank you, Pastor Angie. And as you go down, Elijah, as you go down, you see slides of the community. That's slides of the community, a Black and white photograph of a group of frontline, a group in front of Vernon Chapel, AME Church. Keep going down. This is that lady at the bottom there. Keep going up, Elijah. She is standing in front of the museum, dressing nice, looking nice, class. Keep going up. Young man standing there. In front of his car, three-piece suit, decked out. And just keep going up. Just showing a few little slides as you go up. Keep going. Okay. Man standing with two ladies. I don't know who they were. But just a community. That's good, Laisha. You can stop now. And so this was a community of people, of Black people who gave themselves and took the time to come together. That tells you something about history. That tells you something about our history. And when I say our history, it's American history. It's not just Black history, it's white history. It's Asian history. It's everybody who's in this smelting pot in the United States. It's all of our history.
And planes came from, they even had planes.
They hired planes, people who were sharecroppers, who had planes that would fly. They had planes who would come over and bomb that whole city. Tulsa, Greenwood section of Tulsa. And these are prosperous people. They had their own bank. That's why whenever you see Black people coming together, let me just say this, because whenever you see Black people come together, we are the only group of people in the United States that you can think about. And I'm just talking from my point of view, that the enemy tries so hard to keep us separated. Somebody do something in the Black community. Oh, I don't like that. I don't care for that. And then we separate from them. Somebody say something. Oh, they ain't my cup of tea. I understand that. But what about the whole picture of staying together? Black churches have been separated because somebody wanted to do this and somebody wanted to do that. And so we separate because of what? Why are we really separating? Communities, my story is here, your story is here, and we both helping each other. But guess what? In the Asian community, they have the same issues that we have, but guess what? They're working together. In the Jewish community, guess what? They're working together. In the Spanish community, my God. They're working together. The Latino community, they're working together. But in the African-American community, oh, we can't. I'm going over here and we go give our money to somebody else. And I'm not saying don't give your money to another store, but I'm saying let's work together as Black people. And so here we had a community of what we call Black Wall Street, the Greenwood section of Tulsa, and the enemy came. The enemy, there's nothing but the enemy got in those people's hearts and create a false narrative, something that was not true. That's why I say to you, and I understand what certain political figures have said. And I understand. I'm not in agreement with everything they said, but I understand that some things that are said may not be the truth. They may be said in a slight truth, but it's to persuade you on their side. Be careful what you hear in the news. Be careful what you hear in the media. Be careful what you hear in pastors. Be careful what you hear in elders. Be careful what you hear in the churches. Because churches, people from the church have said, I'm not going to go down that road. They prophesied this and they prophesied that and it didn't come to pass. So who are you listening to? Let's listen to God. His word. Let's listen to God. Compare it with his word. What did his word say? His word say. Mm-hmm. And so we got to be careful in hearing. And so a false narrative was created that some black person did this to a white person. Mm-hmm. This needed a reason. And because of that, word got out. Let's kill every one of them. They just needed a reason to kill us, to separate us. And so they got shot and killed. And that lady who testified, who was 107, this past year, my God, 107, God preserved her life to testify all these years. I mean, she was a little girl and she remembered everything that took place. She remembered. She was 7 years old. She remembered. She looked out and saw people, black people being killed. Graves. And you got to, I saw some of the documentaries just recently and they'll even, some of the people would never be identified. They dug up mass graves and there's no identification on who they are. There's no identification. As Minister Ingrid says, God preserved her life. God will preserve your life to testify of his goodness and of his grace. And I believe that because of the goodness of God that we are here right now, today. And so to segue into what I'm going to minister today, I want to say that God has us sometimes in a place that we're not familiar with. Sometimes God places us in positions and places that we never thought. And we say, like, Lord, why are we here? Why am I here? How did I get here? Why should I even be here? Lord, this is not even where you want me to be. You know, come on, God. We can do better than this. Come on. I'm just like you. God, we can do better than this. Why am I here? Why am I here, Lord? And so in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, I want you to turn your attention there. Let's just pray. Father, we bless you. We give you the praise this morning, and we thank you. We are so thankful. I am so thankful. We are so thankful of your loving kindness, your tender mercies. You are gracious to us. And God, we owe our allegiance. We owe everything to you. We pledge allegiance to you, God, and we give everything to you. For you are the maker. You are the creator. You're the one that is and shall be forevermore. And God, we trust you and we give ourselves to you. We ask you, God, speak to us today through the word of the Lord. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our soul. Cleanse us for any unrighteousness, any unforgiveness. God, forgive us. Forgive me for doing anything, saying anything that is not right before you, before your people. Oh, God, that you may be glorified, oh, God, that you may cleanse my heart, cleanse my soul. And, Father, bless these, your people, oh, God, as we stand here, oh, God, with clean hands, oh, God, purified hearts, oh, God, wash us in your blood that we may hear and receive what thus saith the Lord this day. Touch your servant only as I communicate. But thus saith the Lord to your people this day. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and we honor you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. 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 The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, segue into what we were talking about earlier. Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 28. The scripture says, "Has thou not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no stretching, searching of his understanding. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And not faint. Verse 28 says, verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God, but the word of our God shall what? Stand forever. May God add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. May he bless it in our hearts today in Jesus' name. Let the church say thanks be unto God. Today I want to talk about the topic of the waiting room. The waiting room. The waiting room. As we go to the doctors, as I go to my doctor, I got an appointment this, my annual appointment this Tuesday. You see my, I got a appointment with my dentist this Tuesday. I got primary, I think, next week sometime or sometime this week. But as I go, usually you go, in today's time, you have to call before you walk in some doctor's office. You got to call, I'm outside, can I come in now because of COVID? They want to make sure there's not a lot of people in the waiting room. So you call upstairs, they say, come in. Then you come in, and then you're sitting in the waiting room. In some places you go, you put your name on the list, and then once they finish with the registration, then they call you up, oh, Mr. Dixon, come on up, okay. And you go through this whole process, and they ask you, do you have this, and you have that, your registration and your fee, you know, that and that. And so in that waiting room, what happens in the waiting room? And I don't know about for you, when I think about making an appointment to go to the doctor's office, I'm thinking of how long am I going to be in that waiting room? My patience, number one, is tested. I don't know about you, but my patience, I'm like, let me prep myself. Come on, Pastor Andrew, before I get in there. I had one doctor. 3 hours. Listen, you waited 2 to 3 hours. My appointment is at 1. I'm going in at 3? Come on, man.
Or 4 o'clock.
People will go out, get lunch, come back.
Bring a book.
Did you call my name yet? Hour and a half? No, not yet.
You better bring a book.
Don't even worry about the magazine. You know, and I'm saying, like, come on. But it's waiting. You're waiting. I'm like, oh, my God. But the good thing about it, when you got with that doctor, he's going to spend 45 minutes. He can spend an hour with you in that room. How you doing today? How's you going? How's your kids doing? Well, they must be getting big. You know, like, come on, let's get down to it. I want to go. But he spent about an hour with you just talking, going over your medical, going over your physical, going over your mental. How are you doing, man? You know, you're going through this, you know. But I don't want to wait, no, 2 and 3 hours. But that waiting room, sometimes my patience is tested. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And the Bible says, wait on the Lord. But Lord, you didn't say wait on the doctor. You said wait on the Lord. But listen, that includes waiting sometimes on the doctor too. Because the doctor, they're nothing but instruments in God's hand. That's why I look at it. Amen. So you got to wait. You got to wait. Psalm 25, verse 21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. We got to wait. Sometimes in a waiting room, what happens in a waiting room, you become isolated from the outside. In other words, you're in here and everything else is outside. You're in the place of isolation. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. As we read before, and they shall mount up with wings of eagles. And it talks about that. But when you go in that waiting room, everything else on the outside is on the outside. You're on the inside. Sometimes, at times, I dropped my wife off at the doctor's office. We had the same doctor. So I said, Pastor Angie, you let me know. Call me, text me when you're about ready to go in. Matter of fact, text me when they call your name, first of all. Because once they call your name, you still got another 30, 40 minutes before you go in. Just text me. So I'll be in the car. I'll go to sleep. I'll take a nap. I'm reading a book. I'm doing homework, whatever. I'm in the car. Then she texts me. Then I come in. But during that time, she's isolated. She's in there by herself, or she's in there with a group of people just waiting, isolated. In the waiting room, patience is tested. Bible says in James 1:4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work. It's something about that waiting room. When we think about 100 years ago, tomorrow will be 100 years ago, all these people, Black people, businesses, millions of dollars were lost
in one day.
And nobody, not one person, was prosecuted, went to court, was accused, and stood before a judge for what they did.
Nobody.
Not one. Killed, burned, shot, hung, dragged. One lady, I think that lady said she saw a man who was dragged, rope around his neck by a car, was dragging him down the street. Not one person. So in that waiting room, patience is needed. Patience is needed. I'm not going to be before you too long, but I want to make this thing relative because many of us are in the waiting room right now in our lives. I don't know what your decisions are. I don't know how you feel. I've been in a place at the doctor's office where I'm ready to walk out. I'm tired. I'm in a doctor's office during the winter season and everybody's in there coughing and sneezing but me. I'm like, oh no, I'm definitely not getting sick today. So I walk out. Or I'm in there and everybody's well, but I'm just tired of waiting. Life is a time of waiting. Yeah. And sometimes we got to wait on the Lord. It's not easy to wait on the Lord. Sometimes in individual lives, in our family, we're praying that they'll get saved. I don't know who I'm talking to today. We're praying that they'll come to Christ. And when we look at their lives, their lives, it's not matching up to our prayers. And we're like, man, God, come on, man. When is this going to take place? When is this going to happen? I'm tired of this. The same people, the same situations. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm losing weight. I'm staying up late. Just believing God. They're coming in late. They're doing the same thing they've been doing. They ain't listening to me. Children going this way and children going that way. That's not the way I raised them. Going to court, going to judge, going before this one. Come on, I've been there. And I'm in a waiting room. I'm getting impatient now. Twiddling my thumb. Now, Lord, come on, you got to do something. And let me say, sometimes in our haste, just like Abraham did, in our haste, we try to do something to help out God. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Man. If I ain't talking to nobody, I'm talking to myself. We try in haste to help God out. God, let me help you out. They ain't gonna listen to me. I'm gonna beat them till they come in this door. I'm gonna beat them till they ain't never seen a beat. I'm gonna cuss them out. I'm gonna tell them off. I'm gonna point my finger. I'm gonna get all in their face. And when you've done all that, you feel good, don't you? Mm-hmm. And then later on, you feel bad, like, oh my God, I knew that wasn't God. Because why? The situation is the same or even worse. My God. And you're praying, God, help this brother, help this sister, help this family, help this one, help my love. And it's gotten worse. And what do? We keep praying in that waiting room. The Bible says that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long suffering. The waiting room. The waiting room is long suffering. All the ingredients of love, joy, peace, long suffering all the other things, mercy, you know, that's fine. But long suffering is something that, man, I gotta make it through this. That's taking such a long time, God. But we need to know from the word of God, as we look back in Isaiah chapter 40, that we need to know that God is God. The scripture says in Isaiah 40, verse 28, has thou not known? Has thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? He fainteth not, neither is weary. God didn't faint. We think God forgot about those prayers that we pray for our loved ones, for our family, and for our friends. We think that God done walked away from us and it ain't no help, no hope, and we're going to do God a favor. Don't work like that, church. God is not weary. God is not tired of you coming to him praying, Lord God, save. Lord God, deliver. Lord, my son. Lord, my daughter. Lord, my uncle. Lord, my aunt. Lord, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my friend, my neighbor, my enemies, God. God is not weary. He's not weary. And the Bible says, neither does he faint. He is not, he's not like, oh, I'm tired of hearing that. Come on. Let me see. We get tired. Come on, we get tired. Sometimes we get tired. But guess what? God answers our prayer. My daughter been praying for her driver's license. Lord, let me get my driver's license. Lord, I want my driver's license. And guess what? God's going to help her during that process. She's not going to just get her driver's license. She's going to get her car. Come on. She's going to get her car. She's going to be able to drive, go to the store, go pick up this. Dad, can you call me an Uber? No. You go get your own, go get out there, get your own car. You need gas? Here's some gas. You go get it yourself. You got your own car. You got your own license. Pastor Andy said, go get your blessing, girl. That's right. Go get your blessing. It's all in the waiting room, though. We want it right away. But Bible says that God does not faint. He hasn't given up on us. The creator, the ends of to the ends of the earth. He's the creator. My God. When I look at the leaves, the flowers, the seeds. I went out this week, weeks ago, about 2 months ago, I started planting, getting ready for the season. And so I went into my greenhouse and I started taking seeds and I was growing from the seeds. My tomatoes, string beans, what else I got? Onions,
squash.
So I started them already. Tomato. And so guess what? Took them outside. They're already with the green light, the growing light, they're already growing. Put them down in the ground. One day and the next day, I see a flower. Even in all this rain, a flower started to bud. I said, the God of all creation created the animation and the process of how plants grow and what they need. They're supplied when they put in the dirt and in the ground and with the water and with the sun. God knows what we need. He planted us. He knows what we're made of. He's not going to faint. He ain't going to faint. And so the Bible says, he faint not, neither is he worried. There is no searching of his understanding. There's no searching. God knows all things. He knows what we're made of. He knows the beginning to our ending. He knows what our frame is. He knows how smart we are and how smart we're not. He knows what we're vulnerable of. He knows what we like or dislike. And it says, he giveth power, my God, to the faint. This is, he don't faint, but guess what we do? I'm being for real. I've fainted. I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't deal with it no more. I can't deal with these people no more. Lord, I'm fainting. And I'm like, I need a break. I'm going away. I'm fainting. Fainting means that you just cut off and you just, I'm not dealing with it no more. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to be around it. I'm just going somewhere else. I'm fainting. But the Bible says he gives power what? To the faint. Mm-hmm. Power comes with authority. Sometimes it's when we're weak, The Bible says he is made strong. And so when we're weak, sometimes God strengthens us. He gives us a thought. He gives us a suggestion. He makes a phone call is made, and somebody comes to encourage us, and we're feeling down and low. And then all of a sudden, God picks us up. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. I've been at times when I'm below faint. I'm just numb. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been to a place where you just numb? I mean, you just numb. You just, I don't know what to think. You lose a loved one, a family member, somebody close to you. You lose a job. You lose money. You had $100 in your pocketbook, in your wallet, and you lose it. $1,000. Somebody robbed you. Somebody does something to you physically, mentally, emotionally. And you just become numb. You're in a car accident. We was in a car accident before. Car hit us. I was like, I'm trying to catch up to what just happened. And I'm just numb. I'm like, then all of a sudden I catch up. I'm like, wow. Get out the car, because I don't know if this car gonna blow up. You're just numb. Life is like that sometimes. But the Bible says that he to those who have no might, he increases strength. Mm-hmm. We got antibodies. Mm-hmm. We got cells in our system. When things start to break down, those cells go to work. They go to fighting, mm-hmm. fighting off of this, fighting off a cold, fighting off a flu. You know, during this COVID-19, people are taking the vaccination, and the vaccination, the process is to cause the antibodies and everything else to speed up to cause healing in that body. Mm-hmm. Remember years ago, Pat Robinson on the 700 Club, he was talking about a miracle that took place. And he was talking about, I'm not sure if he experienced or he had heard somebody else had experienced it, but he said it was this man who was blind, and not just blind, didn't have an eye in a socket. And I believe it was in France. I believe it was over in France somewhere. And they were on the street, and this person prayed for him. I believe it was this evangelist prayed for him. The evangelist prayed for him that God will give him sight. But the evangelist didn't know the guy didn't have an eye. So evidently, he must have took glasses off, a mask off, or patch off, whatever it was. And he says, as he was standing there, he saw like an artist drawing a painting. God was drawing an eye and making an eyeball appear in this man's head. Yes, God can do that. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He's the God. He's the creator. He's the one that created everything. He created the blood vessels. He created the eye. He created the retina. He created everything else. Is it below God to accelerate his creative process? No, because he is God. God can accelerate antibodies that bring cancer under control. God can increase blood cells to go and attack bad blood cells and destroy them and isolate them. I've seen God move with people who had cancer and were given up to die, skin and bones, and the man and woman of God prayed for them. And overnight, oh God, my God, they were healed by the power of God. The next day, they went to the doctors throwing papers out the window, throwing papers on the floor, saying, get rid of that record, get rid of that record. This ain't who you are. Wait a minute, let's do this test over again. They couldn't believe, because the power of God was so awesome. Bible says, my God, he goes after those who have no strength. And his Bible says that even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. We thank God for the youth. We thank God for strength. Youth has some strength. When we do our food pantry, thank God for myself, Pastor Angie. Thank God for Deacon Stephanie, faithful servants, and Sister Roxanne, those who come and help, and Brother Garvin, help and serve. Thank God for every one of you who do that. But some things is too heavy sometimes. So we get youth to come. I need youth to do this. I need youth to do that. And they've been coming. We got this volunteer. They've been younger. When are we going to meet again? I'm telling you, we're meeting this, you know, the Friday, the I think it's 11th. That's when we meet again. So they're going to come. I need the youth. I'm tired. We can do it, Pastor Andy Deacon-Stephen. We can do it. But guess what? We need the youth to step up to help us. And so the youth comes and they help and they participate and they do things. But the youth going to get tired. They're going to get weary. But the Bible says that in the scriptures says, but they that wait upon the Lord, my God, we coming in church, but they that wait, we're in the waiting room. We've been waiting for Black Wall Street. We've been waiting for the justice of God. But they that wait, we've been waiting to see God move like never before. Amos 5:24 says, I'm going to encourage somebody. Amos 5:24, NIV version says, but let justice roll down like a river. Because once justice get the rolling, once justice get the moving, that's why you see all these changes going on in this country today. Racial changes, social change, political change. Why? Because justice is rolling now. And it's on the roll. It's moving. People getting paid, people getting blessed, people getting all kinds of stimulus that never had it before. And you're like, let it keep rolling. But don't spend all your seed. Please don't spend all your seed. Save that seed for another day. Because there's going to come another day. You're going to look for that money. It's going to be gone. Don't go to the store and just spend it all up. Wait, save that seed. Use it wisely. But let justice roll down like a river and righteousness like a never failing stream. All that took place on Wall Street, or Black Wall Street, all that took place in Greenwood section of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Guess what? God is going to defend. God is going to bring justice. God is going to cause his righteousness to prevail. And then the Bible says in Proverbs 21:15, NIV version, it says, when justice is done, when God finished stepping in, when God finished his judgment, justice is performed through judgment, church. Don't try to think that, I'll make it. No, let God do it. But let justice, when justice is done, when God is done, the Bible says in Proverbs 21:15, NIV, it brings joy to the righteous. When justice is done, when we get our reparations, whatever that means, whatever that is, reparation, we will know that. We will know, and there will be joy in our hearts, joy in our communities, all that we've lost, all that my great-grandfather, I've seen his land records. I've seen 100 acres of property. I know who stole his land, and people still are stealing things from Black people, people of color, people who don't have it, and not just Black people, people who are small and who don't have the right representation, people who go to court, young men, Black men who are arrested by police officers for not doing something but serving 20, 30 years for something they did not do. But God says when justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous. But it brings terror to the evildoers. God is going to deal with the unrighteous. Mm-hmm. He's going to deal with the evildoers who have stolen, who have cheated, who have done things. We haven't seen anything yet. Mm-hmm. On this side of eternity, we want this, but we don't know. On the other side of eternity is judgment. Jesus. Real judgment. Mm-hmm.
Burning fire judgment.
Burning fire forever, eternally. When the Bible describes where the fire ceased not, God is going to judge every evildoer. Those who stole from your mother, your father, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, those who put us in slavery, those who put us in chains, God is going to judge. And some right now, listen, some right now who have gone on from this side of eternity to the other side, guess what? God is judging them right now. We're not going to escape God's judgment. Words and deeds that I have done against you, against others, guess what? We're not going to escape that judgment. But the Bible says, they that wait, I'm coming in. We're in the waiting room, church. We're in that waiting room. Mm-hmm. When is it going to happen? When is that doctor going to come and evaluate my situation? It may be an hour, but the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he had made everything beautiful in his time. Everything beautiful in his time. God's got you. When you leave that waiting room and you come to see the doctor, you come to see God, and God says, okay, come on in, my son. Come on in, my daughter. God says, I'm making everything beautiful. I'm making it good. And he makes everything beautiful in his time, not my time, in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart. Listen, God is doing this. But Isaiah 40, verse 31, Bible says that, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. See, God is a renewer. God will take what's broken down in your life, in your mind, in your soul, in your family, and he will renew it. Not just new, he will re it. He will re it. R-E. Re means to redo, to do over. Come on. Redo, to do over, to apply again, to make better than what was before. And so he's going to renew something in your life. He's going to renew your strength. You're going to have more strength than you ever thought you had. My God, the devil had his hand on me, but now I got more strength. Oh my God. He had me down, but now I'm up and I'm working for the Lord. I'm doing what God told me to do. And they shall mount up with wings. My God, they shall mount up with wings. Now we're flying away. I ain't worried about what's down there now. Come on. See, when God renews us, he gives us wings to get out of our situation, to get above. The wings is for getting above. Not being a turkey. Come on, turkeys come on. They can fly low, but I need some wings so I can fly. I don't want to be no turkey. I need wings so I can fly. I can be above whatever. I'm going somewhere in life. Wings is because you're going somewhere in life, and God is taking you there. He's giving you the strength now. Now you got wings. Take off now. Go north. Go east. Go south. Go west. Go somewhere. Go somewhere because God is giving you wings. He shall give you wings, and you shall mount up with wings as eagles. And wings as an eagle is not just to fly away, but also to see vision, having a purpose of vision. I can see now. I know where I'm going. Above, Pastor Andy says, above the situation. Above the devastation of Black Wall Street. Above the devastation of the poverty that I went through in life. Above the devastation of everything that has fancied itself against it and created a false narrative about who I am. I'm above that. The Bible says that he shall give us wings as eagles and we shall run. Come on, we shall run. You didn't feel like running now, but now you're going to run. Get on that treadmill and keep on moving. Come on, we shall run and not be weary. Come on, I'm running now. I'm running for my life. I'm running, old song, I'm running for my life for the Lord. I'm running for my life. I'm running. I'm running for the Lord and I'm not weary. I'm not tired yet. Somebody sing that song. I'm not tired yet. But they shall walk, and what? Fainting is over, and they shall not faint. Listen, I'm closing. Whatever waiting room you're in today, I want to let you know that God has you right where you should be. You may be in a waiting room to be operated on. Maybe in your mind, maybe in your spirit, maybe in your soul. And God has the spiritual surgeons waiting for you to come in, but you're in that waiting room. You're like, Lord, you got to work on me with my patience. Huh? You need patience. Guess what? You're in that waiting room. He got you. And when he bring you in, that's why he's going to fix you. Lord, help me with my temper. He got you. Lord, help me with my ignorance. He got you. My lack of knowledge. He got you. My lack of resources. He got you. Whatever you're waiting for, God's got it. Because why? He's the God of all creation. Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not? Isaiah 40, verse 28. I'm closing. Somebody is in that waiting room and you're wondering, when, Lord, is my time going to come? What is your assessment? What is your evaluation? I want to let you know that the scriptures tell us emphatically that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to God's purpose. All things, not a few things, not some things, every single thing work together for good to them that love God. And I want to let you know that God is going to help you through whatever circumstance that you're in. Whatever problem that you're going through right now, God has the answer. Jesus is the answer. And you come to Jesus, he brings resolve. He brings peace. He brings comfort. He brings strength. He brings eagle's wings. He brings comfort. He brings strength so you can run and not faint. And so if you're out there without Christ, you fainted in life. You walked away in life. And you don't know what to do. Pray this prayer with me. Ask God to come into your heart. Ask God to save you. Ask God to deliver you. Ask God to help you right now, right now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, I come to you just as I am, a sinner, outside of your love, outside of your grace, outside of your strength. I need you right now. I need your wisdom. I need your knowledge. And I need your salvation. Save me, Jesus. I want to be right when you come or call for my life. That on that side of eternity, you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, thank you for coming into my life and saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for each and every one under the sound of my voice. Those who made that prayer of commitment on Facebook, on Zoom, or wherever they're at. God, I pray that you will touch their lives, touch their mind, touch their soul, God. That you will encourage them, oh God, to grow stronger in you by reading your word and finding the church. If they don't have a church that they can grow. We welcome to our church, but Lord God, that they can grow and be nourished in the word and be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. God, touch those who make that commitment, God. Father, that their faith will not fail, but they will go forward and do your will. Not my will, not their will, but thy will be done. Touch us and we shall be touched, God. Help us and we shall be helped. We give you the glory for all that you would say and do. And God, I pray especially for Laisha, God. She's praying, oh God, that she will get her license, oh God, and a driver's license, God. Help her be her strength, oh God. Oh God, even as she seeks your face, oh God, as she seeks your face. And many others out there seeking your face, oh God, as we seek your face. God, meet us right in our waiting room. Meet us right where we're vulnerable. Meet us right where we feel like giving up. Meet us right there, oh God. And give us strength, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, oh God. Oh God, and give us the power and authority to walk and not faint, and to run and not faint, oh God. And to stand, oh God, and not walk away. Thank you, God, for all that you would do, have done, that you'll continue to work in our life. And God, I pray especially for somebody need a special healing. The doctors have given them a negative report. My cousin Arlene. God, I pray for her right now.
Yes,
as she's either laying in the hospital or getting ready to come home out of that hospital,
Lord.
God.
Yes,
we pray for your grace and your mercy will be upon her, Lord. That you will strengthen her, oh God, that you will raise her out of that bed of affliction, oh God. And that not just for now, but God, for that you will turn her, oh God, and turn her in your love and your grace and healing, oh God. Yes, bring healing internally in her body, oh God.
Yes,
let it rid whatever's in there, oh God, whatever's causing this infliction, oh God, infirmity, let it leave her body in the name of Jesus. Let the doctors come in and say, you're gone.
Yes.
You're done. You can leave this place. You can go.
Lord.
There's no more problem. It can't be found no more.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let her faith rise and let the Spirit of God move in her room, and not just her room, oh God, touch any roommates, oh God, and those who are on her floor, God.
Mm-hmm.
Bring healing in that hospital.
Healing,
everyone, oh God. And God, we pray that you'll continue to touch this country, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to touch this nation. Continue to touch this world, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Rid us from this COVID-19, oh God. Rid us from every variant, oh God, that has come to kill us and destroy us, oh God.
Yes.
The family members who've been hurt, oh God. Oh God, mend their hearts, oh God. Oh, touch Brother Larry Lofton, oh God, as he's in the hospital. Oh God, doctors have diagnosed him. God, you are God and you are righteous. All together, oh God, and you can touch, you can move, oh God.
Yes,
he's
Lord.
Seen your power, he's seen your miracle. Raise him up, God,
yes, Lord.
That he may testify of your goodness and your grace, that he may preach and teach your word like never before.
Let
the anointing, God, of God,
yes,
will be upon his life like never before. Thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do, working in his life. Oh God, pneumonia, leave in Jesus' name. Pneumonia, leave his body. Kidneys. Activate right now, activate right now, activate right now, activate right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for all that you would do, God, in touching our bodies, mind, soul, and spirit. Touch our family, oh God, those in abundant grace and truth. Touch each and every one of us. Keep us rolled up in your love. Keep us gathered in your love, united in love, one for another, as we do your will and not our own. Bless us and we shall be blessed. Keep us under your precious blood. We bless you and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us. And we pray that you are blessed by the word of the Lord. Thank you for those who are on the Shield of Faith Broadcasting Network. I pray that the word of God has touched you and you've been encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight. I pray that you'll continue to experience the love of God, the grace of God, and the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but God is working. God is moving. And so we give God the praise and we give God the glory. I pray that each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus, will continue to be a blessing to this ministry. We thank God for the opportunity to give. We pray that as you give, you will be blessed. Elijah, if you have the posting of our Cash App information, if you'd like to give through Cash App, please feel free to do that anytime. Our Cash App application, our site is $AGAT Church. If you'd like to give through Cash App, you can give through the Cash App at $AGAT Church, or you can mail it into Agat Church at 26 Walnut Street, Teaneck, New Jersey, 07666. Thank you so much, Laisha, for posting that information up. We pray that you are blessed by the word today. We pray that you'll continue to be a blessing. Listen, announcement, if all goes well, God willing, on Sunday, I believe it's, let me make sure, it's June the 13th. I believe it's June the 13th. We'll be having our, Sunday, June the 13th, we'll be having our, going back to the church outside, having an outside service, weather permitting. We'll be having an outside service and getting ready for just a nice fellowship and barbecue and fellowship and food after service. And so we'll be practicing social distancing, but we'll have an outside service on that Sunday. Pray that you'll be with us. Pray that you'll come and be blessed of the Lord as we go in fellowship and go back into our service. We haven't been in fellowship together in over a year since last February, I believe it was, February or March. So please, those who are local, please, you're invited to be with us at 100 Palisade Avenue. That's 100 Palisade Avenue in Westwood, New Jersey. We'll be getting more information out on that. And I pray that as we do, you're joining with us. So look, we're about to close. I'm going to ask Pastor Angie to close us out in the prayer or comments, however the Lord leads her. Listen, you be blessed. I love you all. I pray that you continue to walk in the grace and the love of God. Pastor Angie, bless you.
Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you. Amen. We give God praise, amen, for the awesome message on today of the waiting room. Amen. That waiting in God's waiting room. What a powerful message on today. I know I really enjoyed it. Amen. And I give God praise, amen, because he wants us to be still. Ooh, thank you, Lord. And just to know that he is God. Amen. And that we are in his waiting room. And that one scripture, I just want to reiterate and talk about it. One second, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40:31, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yes. Amen. We thank God that as we wait on him, he'll give us strength.
Yes, Lord.
He'll give us his power. Thank you, God. And it's not easy sometimes, but he wants us to be still and trust him.
I know that I'm God.
And know that I am God.
Yes, Lord.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this awesome service. We thank you for the saints, the family, the friends who have joined together to receive your word. We pray that we won't just be hearers of your words, but doers of your most holy word. Keep us and we shall be kept. And repeat after me, and may the Lord watch between me and thee.
Between me and thee.
As we are absent.
As we are absent.
One from another.
One from another.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Son.
The name of the precious Holy Spirit.
In the precious Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' precious name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day, a victorious week in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.